morning.
I want to introduce myself first. I'm Bruce Myers. I am a member of the church, but today I represent the Red River District Lay Servant Ministries of the United Methodist Church. I am what's called a lay speaker, as you heard Larry Newton last week. He is not with us today because he's speaking somewhere else. As we go forward, if doing something like this would appeal to you, please see me. We're always needing help. I actually had a contact out in the hall before I came in, so I'm recruiting. Let's open with our scripture reading this morning, we're starting 2 Corinthians, starting at chapter 5, verse 20, and we're going to look at this scripture as we go in a couple of parts. I so appreciate the people of putting this on the screen. So, we are ambassadors who represent Christ. God is negotiating with you through us. We beg you as Christ's representatives, be reconciled to God. God calls the one who didn't know sin to be sin for our sake, so that through him we could become the righteousness of God. Since we work together with him, we're also begging you not to receive the grace of God in vain. He says, I listened to you at the right time, and I helped you on the day of salvation. Look, now is the right time. Look, now is the day of salvation. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As many of you know, I have been around sports and athletics most of my life in one way or another. I've listened to a lot of interviews, and they often talk about things called fundamentals, the basic things that athletes must do correctly to be successful. Maybe it's keep your eye on the ball in baseball. Maybe it's hold the football with both hands, whatever it might be. Well, when they talk about their team's success, they have one saying that they often use. They say, we kept the main thing the main thing. We kept the main thing the main thing. When I learned from Larry Newton several weeks ago that I was going to preach today at a time of transition between pastors and with lots of concerns about the Methodist Church, I thought it would be a good time to go back to the fundamentals and consider some of our fundamentals in our faith. And I chose this scripture from Acts to get us started. And I will tell you that I mentioned it where we are. You realize we have one more Sunday following that. Pastor Jefferson will be with us. And that's the case all across Methodism. This is the time that pastors change, which means people like me get to speak on this Sunday because there are a lot of pastors that are not working. And let's please pray for Larry where he is preaching up at Pleasant View. Now, the Apostle Paul had started the church at Corinth much earlier, and he'd written one letter that we know about called 1 Corinthians. And in writing to he's writing to them again in this published letter. If you want to really do a Bible study, you will learn that they think there are probably some letters in between. But he reminds them about their previous time together and the lessons that he taught them. Now, he's not certain in this writing how they'll respond to him, but he encourages them to remember the teachings about Jesus Christ, remember Jesus' sacrifice for our sins. Now, to a lot of people now, the idea of communicating by letter is just something that we do seldom, if ever. We now do many more quick messages, text or whatever, with immediate turnaround. And the idea of writing a letter this week and getting an answer in 2 weeks is just not with us, but this is what it was with Paul. And of course, Paul also intended for his letters to be read to congregations. Sometimes they were even passed among congregations. Now, before I go into any more detail about Paul, I thought we needed a reminder that none of the concerns that Paul had and none that we have today surprise God. God is not surprised. Now, again, we're here, we're in church, because God put us here. And the scripture I'd like to show you next is Isaiah 41:10. And I thank Jessica for getting this up here for me the last minute. But this is a verse of comfort and something that I think we could carry with us all the time, and sometimes we don't. Don't fear, because I'm with you. Don't be afraid, because I'm your God. I will strengthen you, I will surely help you, and I will hold you with my righteous, strong hand. This is a verse that of all the ones that you can look for to find comfort, that strong hand that just stays with me, and I've used this a lot of time. We should claim this promise. You know, we read the words in the Bible, the different parts, that it says, do not be afraid, or do not fear. And I read somewhere that phrase appears over 300 times. I have not counted them. But we don't seem to remember, amid all the talk and misinformation that we may hear almost daily, that this is there, that God is there for us. We're all here in church, or at least we're listening to the service today, and we might just pause for a second and say, why are we here? Now, one time I preached a whole sermon about that, but we all came for a reason. We came because we believe in Jesus Christ, or at least we know about Him and what He's done. We know that He died for our sins, that our sins are forgiven, and that once our sins are forgiven, we can go on with our life as if they never happened. We believe in God's grace. We believe that God, as the Holy Spirit, is always part of us. Now, I would say, going back to my sermon title, that that's our main thing. It's interesting to me in this scripture that Paul says God is negotiating. Now, I prefer, and through Pastor Stephen, I have been converted, I guess, to the CEB, the Common English Bible, and this is where those quotes come from. Of course, different translations may well use different words, but it says God is negotiating with you through us. God is talking to us, He offers His grace to us, and in return, He wants our commitment to Him. Now, in this message, there's quite a bit of urgency in Paul's message. He says, we're begging you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Notice he doesn't tell us that we have to accept it. We will accept it. God has been looking out for us from the moment that we're born. And I think we heard an example from Mary about prevenient grace, right? Just this time. And there are many times when you realize something kept that from happening to me. That was God. He watches over each one of us all the time, even when we don't have a relationship with Him yet. Now, that's called prevenient grace. I worried a little bit about talking about grace up here with a Methodist pastor here, but Mary Kate went downstairs, so she's not here to check me out. And as you all know, in our Methodist doctrine is heavily emphasizes grace, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that. In a Methodist seminary, you can't fail grace or you won't make it. The next level of grace is the grace granted to you the moment that you invite God into your heart and confess your sins to Him. And it may happen in various ways to various people. It may happen actually in a worship service where people come forward, talk to the pastor, and commit their lives to Jesus Christ. That's what happened to me many years ago. But it may be during a church camp or a confirmation class or a counseling session. It happens at various ages. Sometimes we say we confess our faith, or sometimes we say we get saved, but we make that commitment to Jesus Christ. And once we do, He takes us and cares for us as we go forward. Now, the third type of grace is called sanctifying grace. Now, at this stage, you begin to work in God on God's behalf. You help to do the things that He leads you to do. You become closer to God at all times. Whatever way you may be serving Him, you may be teaching, you may just be telling someone else about Him, you may be serving the church in various ways, but that's the third level, sanctifying grace. God's grace is so important to us in so many ways. God uses us as He chooses, and we continue to receive His grace even when we go wrong or even when we make mistakes. That grace is always there, and this is what I really wanted us to hear about today. Now, Paul also says, today is the day of salvation. Now is the right time, as he invites those to whom he writes to consider God's gifts. Now, like those folks, we sometimes, I think, need to just stop and think about what does God mean in your life. Just pause and think through what God means, and maybe think about how you could explain that to someone else. I know I need a quick reminder in the midst of all of running around trying to solve whatever problem. God's with me. And often, as we were talking in my Sunday school class this morning, we don't acknowledge that till the problem is over. And then we have to look back and say, God got me through this. I think of all the times that I know that God was already there when I needed Him. None of the problems surprise Him, as I said earlier. We miss that fact sometimes in the midst of everything going on in our lives. I used to hear people in the scientific world talk about noise. There's a lot of noise in all of our lives, whether it's social media, whether it's other people, that your cell phones, whatever, and we sometimes just need to stop and think about our faith and what it really means. I was recently reminded that we don't have to ask God to be with us. He said in that passage that He would be with us. We know He's with us. Yet we want to take control and solve our own problems. We want to tell God, well, I know you handled that one all right, but I just got to take over. And that's what we don't need to do. So I'm suggesting we need to refocus on our faith as we face times of change. And also, we are facing, as we have a new pastor coming here in the church, we're facing a new time, a new year, and I hope we can move forward as we enter that time. Let's change now and look at the next part of the scripture, if we can do that. And this goes down, I'm going to make sure I'm in the right place. We don't give anyone any reason to be offended about anything so that our ministry won't be criticized. Instead, we commend ourselves as ministers of God in every way. We did this with our great endurance through problems, disasters, and stressful situations. We went through beatings, imprisonments, and riots. We experienced hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger. We displayed purity, knowledge, patience, and generosity. We served with the Holy Spirit, genuine love, telling the truth, and God's power. We carried the weapons of righteousness in our right hand and our left hand. We were treated with honor and dishonor, and with verbal abuse and good evaluation. We were seen as both fake and real, as unknown and well-known, as dying and look, we're alive. We were seen as punished but not killed, as going through pain but always happy, as poor but making many rich, and at having nothing but owning everything. That's kind of a long passage, but there's a lot of contrast there as we go through this. Happy and unhappy, honor and dishonor, lots of things were going on. Paul is basically saying, this is how our ministry was, this is how it was with you. And Paul, by the way, as you notice, he's still concerned how they're going to respond to him. He is careful to acknowledge what they did, but he also points out the parts where it didn't go so well. This group of people, excuse me, was not always in agreement with Paul and his team. Sometimes they're treated very well, sometimes very badly. Many times we find Paul in his letters writing back to these churches critical of how he has heard of the behavior. In verse 10, he mentions going through pain, but always happy. You know, I admire anyone who answers God's call on their lives, regardless of their commitment. For some, like missionaries and pastors, they make a commitment to change careers, perhaps relocate. Many of the people in my family, cousins and so on, are in some kind of mission work. And I admire those so much, and I contribute to their efforts, and I support them. For others, they pursue a career outside the church while serving God in a volunteer capacity. But they always seem happy following God's lead. And that's very true of those that I know well. It's also true of those who volunteer and serve in the church. We hear lots of stories about folks who resisted God's call and the struggles that they sometimes have until they finally responded. There's lots of folks here at Hilldale that I know are happy all the time as they serve our church. I'm sure you know some of them too. Maybe our best example, she's gone. But Miss May, have you ever seen her sad? No matter what she's doing, I saw her passing the clipboard. She's always happy, right? And she's always serving. And she's one of the ones that work the hardest. Well, I'm grateful for everybody that serves, and whether they're paid staff or volunteers. There is so much that gets done, and again, you heard Mary Kate's appeal about help with the children, and we'll get the response, and we'll do that. It means so very much. Let's look one more time at the scripture now and see how this ends for us. There's one more at the end. Okay. This is starting at verse 11. I'm sorry if I confuse y'all. Corinthians, we've spoken openly to you, and our hearts are wide open. There are no limits to the affection we feel for you. You are the ones who place boundaries on your affection for us. But, as a fair trade, I'm talking to you like you are children. Open your hearts wide also. Open your hearts wide also. And again, I like how we come back to some words that we can understand. We all know what a fair trade is. We did this. We expect you to do this. This is a good message for us today. These words almost speak for themselves. Paul was not sure how the Corinthians would respond to him. There had been some conflicts, so he wisely leaves the door open for further communication. He assures them that he and his followers delivered an open message based only on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he says, as a fair trade, open your hearts. Again, I like that translation as fair trade in language we can all understand. It reflects our wishes lots of times. We'll say, all I ask is for a fair deal of things like that. Having open hearts to Jesus Christ will be essential for all of us as we face our future challenges, both to our faith and our denomination and in the world. It won't always be easy. We're not going to always agree. I thought one time about mentioning some of the past disagreements that I can remember, but I elected not to do that. But we know those disagreements and challenges will come. It won't be easy, but God is there, and He won't be surprised. That's the main thing for today. Amen.